Welcome to a special episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, and this time we're going to be talking about the brand new animated film, Batman vs. Two-Face. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I am your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, owner and producer of Connecticut's greatest Comic-Con, we call it Terrific-Con, and Connecticut's Gamer-Con, both happen at the lovely Mohegan Sun, located in Uncasville, Connecticut. Hey, this week, Cousin Johnny is off, and I have a special episode that I recorded this year at the New York Comic-Con. And I have some special guests. That's right. We have on today's show interviews with Mr. Captain James T. Kirk himself. That's right. William Shatner is on the show and Mr. Burt Ward. And the reason why they're together is because when you hear this, I think on the, let's see, the 18th of October or so, the release of the last Adam West voiced Batman animated film will be coming out. It's called Batman vs. Two-Face, and it stars, of course, the voices of Mr. Late Great himself, Adam West as Batman, and Burt Ward as Robin the Boy Wonder, and this time they're joined by William Shatner playing Harvey Dent, aka Two-Face. So I sat down with the stars at New York Comic Con, and along with the writer, producer, and director, and you're going to hear all about that in today's special episode of the Power Cosmic. So let's start off with the trailer for the latest and greatest Batman show.
Instigate the extractor protocol.
Radio, John.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Behold, my evil extractor. They're trying to overwhelm the machine with their eagle. Shut it down!
Harvey, look out!
It's a double cross. All signs pointing to
Two-Face. I won't rest until we get to the bottom of this.
The game is afoot, Mr. Dent.
Get the lead out, or I'll put the lead in.
I can't go on like this. I insist you stop this madness.
Look, pretty boy. We had a deal.
Going once, going twice. Sold to all the villains of Gotham. Soon the secret will be exposed for all of Gotham to see.
To the Batmobile.
Scarred side up.
Get them, boys.
You'll never take me alive, Cape Coppers.
Harvey, stay strong.
Wakey, wakey, bird boy. Now it's your turn, Robin, the boy guinea pig.
You'll never figure out how to use that without...
Hugo Strange? You know what they say. If you can't kill them in a horrible lab experiment, join them.
Now, here's Mr. William Shatner.
So, what made this a delicious role for you to play?
It was delicious, wasn't it? Yeah, that's a perfect word. You masticate on that word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, what was the draw for you? What was the draw for you? What made it so appealing?
Oh, what was the appeal? The appeal seems right there. I mean, juicy role. It was fun to... What I challenged myself with was to try and do the voice organically, I guess it's a good word, so it all was one thing, rather than playing the straight voice and then using technology to do this, the bad guy. So I allowed the bad guy to emerge out of the good guy, much like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. And just to further that concept along a little bit, there are these different voices inside our heads all the time. Should I eat that candy? Should I not eat that candy? What was going on in what's his name's head in Las Vegas when he shot that window out and he began to spray bullets? Here he was, a mild-mannered guy, very much a Harvey Dent character, and all of a sudden he's doing one of the most incredibly, I hate to use the word evil because I don't know whether I believe that there's good and evil, but this man who sought to terrorize and kill and maim as many people as possible, knowing that he was going to die in the end, either by the hands of the law or his own hand. What vicious, monstrous thing was going on in his head? And how you might relate that in reality to a Harvey Dent character, who is, as I watched the footage that they played for me when I was in the sound booth, they played a scene where the artist had a little green going here, and then it got bigger, and then it got bigger, and then it got bigger, and it got bigger. And seeing that, I just fell into doing the voice and coming out of it, and doing the voice, doing Two-Face Moore, Harvey Dent, and playing back and forth. As the artist did his thing, I was doing my thing as the voice. It was the most spontaneous, because I never planned it. I don't think anybody planned it. It was the most spontaneous part of that whole thing, and made everything I had done worthwhile because of the challenge that I had.
Is it more liberating to be villainous than heroic, because you've done both now, to play as an actor? I mean, you can go to the top.
That's all. Stuff. It's all, what would be a good word? It's all cosmology. In reality, playing a guy in love with a woman or an animal or a car is just as much. You try to bring a truth to everything you do, so the truth of being evil, the truth of being underhanded, thank you so much, the truth of being antisocial is just as valid as playing love. You go for the truth of the matter, and both are equal to my way of thinking.
Yeah. One of the threads you're seeing through a lot of your characters in all kinds
Start
of
again.
Media. Sorry, one of the threads that kind of holds true for a lot of your characters in all kinds of media is authority.
Authority.
Yeah, you're frequently in charge.
Shut up.
Exactly.
I don't know what you mean.
Do you draw on a lot of that for, you know, District Attorney Harvey Dent and Two-Face? You know, where did you find that strength and that confidence that has to come from Two-Face?
Interesting question. Mostly it's assumed because I'm fully aware that I know nothing, but then I'm fully aware you know nothing, so we're both on equal ground. So I have no, I don't feel authoritative, I don't feel that I have the right or the expectation of ordering somebody around, unless it's my kids. it's just assumed. I mean, you've got two cameras in your hand and a bottle of water and a T-shirt. You're an authoritative figure. Look at you. You know what you're doing.
To believe so.
Yeah. So you could say, "Would I move to the left, please? My camera's again," and you'd be an authority figure.
What was your relationship like with Adam before this? Because I know you didn't
record
together.
Yeah, I knew Adam long time ago. We did a pilot together prior to Batman, prior to to Star Trek.
Is that the Alexander the Great project?
Say again?
Is that the Alexander the Great?
Alexander the Great. So I was playing Alexander, and it was going to be a group of soldiers in the desert fighting. That was the concept, led by Alexander. And it didn't sell, so they made it into the pilot into a film, issued it as a film, and it was fairly well received. And so Adam was one of the guys, and we had an opportunity to meet there. And then each of us went our way, but we would see each other like at a Comic Con like this. They having lunch, you'd sit at a table and talk. And I got to know him over the years, and I really admired him. Lovely, lovely, sophisticated man.
Was there ever a talk during the 1960s of getting you onto that original show?
The original show of?
Batman.
I don't know. That's quite a long time ago. How old are you?
31.
Long.
Mr. Shatner.
I just got age shamed by William Shatner.
Mr. Shatner.
Yeah, you're a youth, yes.
Not a bad way to say it.
Why do you think there's such a draw to this kind of era, to the 66 Batman, to kind of an older, more kind of classic, nostalgic, kind of superhero genre?
Well, if you're talking about this movie, mm-hmm. and it harkens back to the comic books. And comic books are kind of fundamental. They're drawn, there's a hero, the villain, you can read a little bit. If you can read a little bit, you can read the bubbles and the panels take you through the drama. And it's quite simplistic. So it's both appealing to people who want simple things, or it's appealing to people who don't want to have to think on too many levels about this story. So the story is there, and it's a fundamental way of telling a story. I've been involved in comic books for a long time. I had some interesting stuff that I was working on that even combined movies and comic books, and that's still out there. And I'm starting a couple of new comic book ideas. So I'll be around in comic books for some time to come. And they're a really interesting way of doing this. You can make them more intellectual, more inviting to think about or they can be simple. And you can go either way or both ways, different comic books, which is what one of the things I'm attempting to do, make a more sophisticated comic book and make a more simple one. It appeals to basic storytelling. It's the simple, the dinosaur was attacking me, I hit it on the head, you should have seen it fall.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of
Mariano de Cesar, I just had dinner with him Friday. So
I just
hello.
Had dinner with him last night.
Italian place?
What did you eat?
We went to seafood ravioli. We went to Tavano's.
Ravioli.
Yeah.
His name is Nicenza for anything.
Mariano. His wife's Italian, too.
Yeah.
So we were talking about this, because I'm working on a project that, like you, where he wants to embrace our theater. He wants to make, like, a live-action comic book type of thing.
Yeah.
And here discussing that.
We've been doing that for quite a while.
Yeah. So do you believe that comics really have no age? Because when I was talking to him, he said it appeals to children, it appeals to adults and such.
That's right.
Yeah.
Comic books, you know, it'd be interesting. I'm sure there are treaties that have been written about what the appeal of comic books are.
Yeah.
But certainly it's fundamental storytelling. And it doesn't have to be just a Batman hero,
right,
and a villain Two-Face. It can be on a more sophisticated level. Last night we were talking about a comic book we want to bring out that will have an astrophysicist and a psychiatrist involved in it. So it can be on different levels. It's just that, like cartoons are to kids, comic books are to more adult audience. There's not much thinking required, and it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's almost
I guess that's it. It's pure entertainment.
Real quick, who's a better lawyer, Denny Crane or Harvey Dent?
They're both two-faced.
Good answer. That's good. How is it like being reunited with Julie Newmar and Meriwether?
It was Julie Newmar and Meriwether. They are of a certain age now, and they're beautiful now. But they were unbelievable. At one time.
While studying the True Case, did you ever go home and you know the wife and the other voice comes out?
Like, I did. My wife locked the door. And my dog wouldn't recognize me. You good? Everybody good? Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
And now joining us to talk about Batman versus Two-Face, the Boy Wonder himself, the 2017 special guest, Mr. Burt Ward, on The Power Cosmic.
How are you?
Very nice to meet each and every one of you.
You too.
Again.
Yeah. Holy something another. It's Burt Ward. He's stealing my line.
They sent it to me. They go, you got to interview Burt. I go, again?
Again.
Burt, can you look over here?
Sure.
Thank you. All right. So, who would like to start? What would
I'll
you like?
I'll start.
Yes.
Me, I'm 62.
You are. Okay.
How does it feel? Because I was sitting in front of that TV.
Yes.
Yeah. How does it feel to be such one of the most groundbreaking shows in the 60s, and it's still going strong, as you can see?
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, some people will say, well, you know, having done the part of Robin, I mean, didn't that keep you from doing other things? And the way I look at it is this. If you have a cup that's 100% full, it could be full with 50 different projects you've done, or it could be full with maybe one project that you've done that is like one of the biggest hits in the world with a few other projects to go with it. The glass or the cup is still full. And my life has been full because of this character. And I love Warner Brothers that they respect the character, and everything they've done has been first class. Nothing, I mean, even when they re-released our series, you know, we all waited 50 years for it to be released, but when they did, they cleaned it up. The sound is magnificent. The picture is better than when we filmed it. I mean, they have treated this first class, and this is a great movie. I don't know if you've seen it yet. This is a really good movie.
Well, the last one was great, too, Return of the Caped Crusader.
Yeah, but this is going to blow you away.
Well, can you talk a little bit about that? Can you tease us about how this takes it to the next level?
They recreated the past, so to speak, with the first one. Kind of like, let's get back into it, and let's kind of, they've refined this. Now, this is really, the animation is really, really good. The sound, the explosions, the effects are good. The storyline is very tight. It is just, everything is better. I have great fight scenes. I love fighting. and the stuff in that, but really great. And genius to cast Jack. I mean, genius. Here you have the two most iconic television shows in history, Batman and Star Trek. There's nothing bigger. And you put them together, with the actors working together, and it was absolute. When I heard that was it, I knew that it was going to be huge. But they made that script great. They worked on it. They took our suggestions, my suggestions, and I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. And I'll tell you what's also great. You know that there is a special featurette on this movie. Do any of you know that?
No. What is it? What's in it?
What is it?
What you got?
Secret.
All right. They call me in to do press interviews. I mean, not press, recorded, just kind of stuff at the time I was recording. And they interviewed me, and I thought, 5 or 10 minutes. Thank you very much. It was like almost 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Right? There is a featurette, 14 minutes, on the DVD. and wait till I tell you the title. The Wonderful World of Burt Ward.
About time.
I thought Disney.
Yeah. Anyway,
and what they did, and it is so touching and so well done. I mean, it's not like I asked to have this done. Mm. I knew nothing about it until it was already done. Even when I did that long interview, I said, just why is there so much questions and this and that? They put this together, and it ties together my relationship with Adam. I mean, it'll almost bring tears to your eyes. It's beautifully, sensitively done. It talks about the fact that I like to say I was the caped crusader, and now I am the canine crusader.
Yeah.
Because my wife and I operate the largest giant breed dog rescue in...
Sorry, that interview got cut a little bit short, but now we're going to move on to the director of Batman vs. Two-Face, Mr. Rick Moranis.
Any favorite moments from the movie?
Favorite moment? there's
but this is funny. We have this little, bit. I'll just give it away. There's this whole third act thing where Two-Face is spraying the city down with this gas and kind of transforming people or whatever. And we had this drive-in movie theater scene. And there's some action going on the screen, and we're like, oh, is it, you know, do the people get transformed when they're on the screen, even though they're not? They have people like, you know what, it's Adam West Batman. Of course they do. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a silly thing that ended up making it into the film.
I know they didn't record together, but were Adam and Bloom ever in the same room together to, like, have her discuss it?
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, I'm sure at some point they were, but I wasn't there to see it, unfortunately. And Adam West passing, he should have been here. So I was really hoping to see those two together.
Improvised?
Not wholly, not wholly, but I think there's probably some performance. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We've got a kind of a transformation thing in the film, towards the end of the film, that William Shatner was like,
hello to somebody over there.
What if he's doing this, and he's going back and forth, and this and that, and that. It was kind of there, but he kind of just pushed it, and once he did his vocal take on it, we're like, oh yeah, that's really cool, like, and that influenced the way that we ended up handling, visually, that sequence of the movie, so it's probably the closest thing.
Without really giving anything away, potentially, if you were so lucky as to take a third kind of swing at this, is there any direction you would want to go, or anything you would, want to touch on from the history of Batman?
I would love to continue to play in this world. I don't really see a big reason to do it without Adam West. I think he brings so much to it. I love this era. I love this version of Batman and Robin. And it'd be cool to do more. I don't know exactly after this where we'd possibly take it, and I wouldn't want it to, these feel special to me. I wouldn't want it to just be a thing that just gets churned out because
You wouldn't want another actor to do an Adam West impression.
I don't know about that. I just don't think there'd be a lot of reason for that.
Give another character that you'd maybe like to take a stab at, just to, agnostic from Batman?
I want to do a Superman thing, that'd be great, me and the guys at work would always talk about this, we should do an 89 one, we should do a Batman 89, but there's no plans.
Well, I happen to have the good fortune of watching Batman versus Two-Face before it was released on digital and comes out on DVD on October 17th when I was at New York Comic Con. And I have to say, it was great. It was a final farewell to Mr. Adam West as the Caped Crusader Batman. This is his final performance, albeit only in voice. But it fills a gap that was left open by the original 60s TV series, because it was always rather odd that we never had Two-Face, one of the iconic Batman villains, as part of the show. We did have False Face in one episode, which always bothered me as a kid, because I don't think they ever revealed who was the actor that played False Face. Maybe they did, I just don't know it. But that was a bad guy who had this plastic mask on who could change his looks, almost like a Clayface character. But anyway, Harvey Dent as Two-Face was always never, you know, he was just missing from the show, and it always bugged me as a kid. And now we could say you could put this entry right alongside the 66 TV series and fills it. Plus, we also have the voice talents of Miss Julie Newmar as Catwoman and another Terrificon guest from 2017, Miss Lee Merriweather, is on board as well. Not as Catwoman, but as another villain. Or maybe not so bad. But anyway, she's in the show as well. So it's got excitement, it's got explosions, it's got everything you want from the Batman series. It's filmed with the whole retro style of the 60s Batman's TV series. So like I said, it's a worthy entry and it fits right in there. So do yourself a favor. If you're listening to this now and you don't want to buy the antiquated material like a DVD or a Blu-ray, then just do the digital download and watch the movie. Or go out, buy the digital down, I mean, I'm sorry, the Blu-ray or the DVD, get all the extras, get the featurettes, you'll see a lot more. So this has been a Power Cosmic special New York Comic Con edition of Batman versus Two-Face, starring Adam West, Burt Ward, and William Shatner. We'll be back next time with another normal episode in which I will be, you know, harassing Mr. John Cimino, and we'll be talking about comic books, movies, TV, and more right here on the Power Cosmic Podcast.